Good morning. I'd like to speak this morning about sharing our hope we have in God. I'd like to ask a question first. What are some things you hope for? Anybody? Good health. Anybody else? Anybody else? There's a few things. The rest of you must not have any hope. Well, anyway, I'd like to read a few verses in 1 Peter 3, 13 through 17. I realize that this is talking about what could come in the future for us. It's already here in our world today in some parts, but that persecution and suffering for following Christ. But I'd like to think about it in maybe a little different way today. I'd like to read, starting with verse 13. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? For even if you should suffer for what righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense for everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, and when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good rather than doing evil. I pray. Father, we just pray that you will guide and lead, speak to our hearts today and encourage our hearts that we can become more what you want us to be. We thank you for the opportunity to meet here in freedom, to worship you this morning and gather around your table. We just pray for blessing today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The phrase in verse 15, be always ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you. So I'd like to share some thoughts with you today. Faith and hope have similar meanings. Faith, according to the Webster dictionary, is unquestionable belief, complete trust or confidence. Hope is to expect what is wanted will happen. In our walk as a Christian here on earth, we need to have faith and hope. Here in our text today, we're encouraged to share with those who ask about the hope we have in Christ. Maybe we are asked when things happen to us, how can you have peace in your heart? You don't have to look very hard or very far either to see in our world as we know it today is falling apart. Some may think, well, you're just looking at the negative side. But according to God's word, sooner or later, it is going to completely fall apart. And you're going to end up in one of two places. This world will not get better and somehow fix itself. And Jesus will look the other way and say, never mind. Thank God for that. You hear on the news that those that stand up for morally right, suddenly we're haters. We hate instead of love. Those that see things the way God does are not portraying love. Some look to the rulers of our nation to fix the problem, such as injustice, freedom to worship without fear, poverty, and moral issues. Many believers struggle with what is going on in our country too. It is easy to become discouraged. We learned last week when Doug preached about our citizenship, where our citizenship really is when we become believers. thank God it's not going to end here on this earth. And I, my future, my citizenship is in heaven. To overcome discouragement, one of the things I think we need to see is we need to fix our eyes on Jesus. It's too easy to get our eyes focused on the wrong things in this world. We're told in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, that we are to endure the race of life because Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. We're also told that as he has started a good work in you, he'll finish it. Thank God for that. We need to focus on Jesus instead of the circumstances around us. Jesus has done everything necessary for us to endure to the end of our life here on earth. We're told in James 1 and 12 that the believer who endures trials demonstrates that they love Jesus will receive a crown of life. So there's a reward in heaven for faithfulness. How our attitude is portrayed through trials that come our way can be strong, a strong testimony of where our faith and hope lies. Do we complain? Or do we seek God to help us through those trials? Is it what God can do through the trial? Do we seek God for what he may want us to learn? Maybe through the trial there is someone that needs to see where our hope is so God can work in their heart. You know, sometimes we trials and things come in our life and it isn't always for us. It's for those around us. Sometimes maybe they need to grow and maybe they need to see how strong our hope really is in God and how much do we really depend on him. Sometimes the things that we don't say in our life and maybe others may see in our life speaks a lot louder than what we say with our mouths. Now, I've had the opportunity over the years to work with several young men that seem they have no hope. And the reason is because one time I didn't feel like I had any hope either. I made a lot of mistakes in life, made a lot of wrong choices at a young age. But if it wasn't for the faithfulness of one Christian man that came into my life that led me back to the Lord, showed me where I hope my hope should be, where my focus should be. And in that is really spurred a desire to help young men in their lives. Recently, a young man worked for me, died suddenly at the age of 26, riding a motorcycle. I went to his visitation before his funeral, and many people were crying and asking how this could happen to someone so young. There seemed to be a lot of hopelessness. This spoke to me once again as the need to share the hope that I have in my future. It's easy to think I don't need to share the hope that I have because people really don't want to hear it anyway. But you'd be surprised how many darn-hearted people are willing to sit down and listen and realize that you really care and you really love them and willing to hear what you have to say. This young man had been in trouble with the law. And I don't mean to down the justice system, but the justice system thinks about throwing him in jail and slap a big fine on him. There seems like no desire to help him on a different path. This young man had several huge fines, which he felt he could never pay back. And with the job, he was thankful to finally have a job, but he had no driver's license. It took him years to pay the fines back. And so he only worked for me for about a month. And I had a few opportunities to share some things with him. But one thing he couldn't understand is, I mean, he'd applied many places and no one had given him a job because he didn't have a driver's license and he'd messed up in life, and no one had given him a second chance. He says, why are you any different? Well, I share with him, once my life was messed up and someone gave me a second chance. And it's only because of what Christ has done in my life that I want to give you another chance. Unfortunately, I didn't get to lead this young man to Christ as he died suddenly. But people ask, when they see something different in you, if there's something different in you and your attitude and you live differently, they want to know what the deal is. So we do live in a pretty selfish world, pretty self-centered world. And if you reach out and care for those who are hurting, they're going to want to know why, what's driving you to do that. I'm not saying we should make people feel that they should be let off the hook for wrong choices they make. But we can sure help them and guide them, maybe make some better choices. This is where Christians can share that Jesus is all about second choices. We can share the hope that we have in God. And it's only because of Jesus' finished work on the cross, his shed blood, that we can have total forgiveness. You know, you think about it, each one of us have messed up. And that's why Jesus had to come. If it only was just a few of us that messed up, maybe God would have had a different way, different plan of salvation. I don't know. But every one of us have messed up one way or another. And we need to have what God has to offer. After salvation, if one totally trusts and leans on Jesus for help, change can come about. As I said before, many are in our world are living without any hope. They feel their hopelessness can only be put to sleep with alcohol, drug abuse, sex, and many other things that our world has to offer. Satan has blinded hearts of many young people and men and women today to seek a temporary fix. These things that are just mentioned are only temporary. They're not something that can last. But you know, we as believers, we have the answer, something that can last forever in all eternity. And many of these young men I have talked about earlier did not have the privilege of growing up in a family where God was first, put first, or taken to a church where salvation was preached. You know, a few weeks ago, we heard from Luke and what God was doing in with the colleges, college where he attends, and college students. And it seems that these people are already trying to better their lives by getting a better education so they can get a good job. And I believe that that's great and fantastic. But what about all the young people that don't go to college? Someone needs to reach out to them too, and I'm so thankful for what God has called Jason to do here with the young people. We need to pray much for that because these young people are our future of our country, future of our church. Somewhere along the line, ideas need to get back to where they should be with God, especially in a nation that once proclaimed to be a Christian nation. You see, the devil is working hard to destroy young people, especially while they're young, tempting them to make wrong choices. I know he tempts us when we get older too, but it seems like young people are really good targets. There's so many choices that they need to make. There's so many avenues they could go. There's so many directions in life that they could go. But if Satan can get him to mess up and trap him in some sin, he knows that those things can change their whole life, can bring devastating scars into their life and consequences that may last a lifetime. They may even use their lose their lives at a young age and end up in eternity where they wish they would have made a better choice, too late to change where they are. In 2 Peter 3:9, we're told that God's desire for mankind is that no one perishes. God's plan was not that just a few would come to know him, but his desire was that everyone would come to know him as Savior. God's desire should be the same as a believer's desire that those that we work with, those that we live with, those that live around the church will see something different in us. Not that we are better, but that we are a living example of the hope we have in Christ. You know, I have a man that works for me. He's worked for me almost 2 years. He's a year younger than I am, and he's a Navy SEAL. He served his country. And several years ago, he met a woman, and they got married, and she claimed to be a Christian, and they went to church every Sunday. I think they were married for about 15 to 17 years, somewhere in there. They ended up getting a divorce. And he told me after that, he kind of quit going to church and wasn't interested in church. And I says, oh, that's kind of interesting. Why is that? He says, because my wife was one way at church and a different way at home. At church, she was all God this and God that and praise the Lord for this and praise the Lord for that. But at home, I couldn't do anything right. And so he said, I really don't have any desire to go to church. And I thought, wow, Lord, help me with this man. Well, he still works for me. It's been almost 2 years, so pray for me in this situation. But you know, after this young man got killed on the motorcycle, he went to church that next Sunday. And I said, oh, you did? And he said, yeah, it got me to thinking about, you know, I just talked to him Friday, and we worked together Friday, and Friday night at 2 o'clock in the morning, this man was killed on a motorcycle. He says, it made me realize how short life is. So he's starting to think about some things again. But you know, it really spoke to my heart because there's times that I've walked with the Lord and I haven't been what I should be. I haven't portrayed Jesus like I should have. And people are watching. They're watching more of what we live than what we say. And we don't think about that sometimes. It's so easy to say, yeah, I love the Lord, praise the Lord. And yeah, I went to church Sunday and everything was hunky-dory. We had a wonderful worship time and we had a wonderful Sunday school. And we had this and that and the other thing. But Monday comes around and forget all about walking out those doors and where we've been today. I went to a church one time and on the doors on the way out, it says you're entering the mission field. It doesn't matter where we serve, Africa, South Dakota, New Orleans, Des Moines, Iowa, Pleasant Hill. God wants each one of us to do our part in sharing that the hope that we do have. You know, I thank God the way things happened on November 8th, but you know, Donald Trump isn't my savior. Thank God that the Lord is. And he's the one that's going to see me all the way to heaven if I trust him, and he's going to see each one of you there on your way. He wants to be with you. He wants to be a part of your life all throughout the day, and not just once a week either. Not just today because we showed up here to worship and sing praises and take part in the Lord's Supper. He wants to be a part of our life every day, all throughout the day. I want to encourage us today. Maybe we need to take a look at our lives. I'm talking about me too. Are we living as we should? Can others see our hope in Christ is really a reality? Do they see a life they desire? Do we see people in need of a Savior as Jesus sees them, as a soul that needs to be rescued from the powers of darkness? As I said before, people are watching. What we do says a lot more than what we say. So I just challenge us today to look inside. And are we sharing the hope that is within us? Because the world needs us. We needs this hope. It's a dying world. And in some parts of the world, some of these verses that talked about just before we came to this part that we read today, some parts of our world, people are losing their lives for their faith. What would happen if tomorrow, in this country, if you stood up for Jesus, you'd lose your life? Would you be able to give the answer of the hope that lies in you to your persecutors? If we can't do it without being persecuted, it's going to be awful hard to do it when we are persecuted. So as we come to decision time, as the worship team comes forward, maybe you find yourself here that your hope is not really in Jesus. Maybe you need to come to know Jesus. Maybe you need to give your life to Christ and let Him control your life. Maybe you need prayer today. Or maybe you need a church to come and serve in. None of us here are perfect. But it is wonderful I had an opportunity to serve. So as you sing, you come forward if you have any needs.